Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Friday, July 7th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. Just doing a quick intro here in the studio because I just wrapped up a couple of fascinating interviews. We're going to be featuring one of those interviews in today's broadcast. It's with Dr. Kirk Moore, who is a plastic surgeon who has been accused by the federal government and charged with multiple felony crimes because the government claims that he gave people saline solution shots instead of, administering the COVID death jabs. So we're going to have Dr. Moore on the show in a little bit. That should be fascinating. Between now and then, I'm going to go to an audio format to give you a full detailed discussion of today's headlines and other breaking news stories. And then we'll jump into the Dr. Moore interview after that. So stay tuned. The audio portion continues right now, right here on Brighteon Broadcast News. Okay, this is the audio segment of the show, which I record several hours later. So just in case you're wondering how this works, I do the studio recordings in the afternoon, and then I'm doing the audio here much later at night, closer to midnight. So it's many hours later, and often there's additional news that breaks in that time. Now, I did two interviews earlier today, and I interviewed Dr. Kirk Moore and then also Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch. And at first, I thought I was going to run the Dr. Kirk Moore interview today, but I've changed my mind. I'm going to run his interview on Monday, and I'm going to run the Dane Wigington interview here in this episode. And there's a reason for that. It's because, well, of the urgency and also the admissions by the White House that they are looking at geoengineering. And when you watch that interview, you'll see that I'm showing you a UK Daily Mail article. The headline is, "More gloomy news from Biden. White House says it's open to plan that would block sunlight from hitting the surface of the Earth in a bid to limit global warming." And then the subhead of the story says the White House has opened the door to an audacious geoengineering plan. So you notice that this phrase, geoengineering, is now in mainstream media. It's now a mainstream concept, and it's being pushed by the White House. Now, don't forget the history of this, because, well, just, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, if you mentioned geoengineering, then everybody said, oh, you're a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist or whatever, even though it was being admitted by top agents of the U.S. government. Stratospheric aerosol injection was being admitted in various talks. I don't know if it was, I think one of them was a TED talk or something. And that was called SAI, stratospheric aerosol injection, SAI. But then when you mention that to people, they would say, oh, you're just making that up. And Dane Wigington in particular has been talking about, warning about geoengineering for, a couple of decades here. And yet the media would mock him and say, oh, it's nonsense. Nobody's messing with the weather. No one's going to block the sun. And then now the White House is like, we're going to block the sun. Well, that's not the way Joe Biden talks, but that's more like Camacho at the White House, And I got this guy, not sure. Yeah, that's a line from Idiocracy. Anyway, the White House now says they are looking at this plan to block the sun. So all the things that I've been warning about, and Dane has been warning about all these years, where they're going to block photosynthesis, folks. They're going to block photosynthesis, which means, come on. All life on the planet depends on photosynthesis in one way or another because of the food chain and the biosphere, the food webs, in the oceans and obviously on land. If you don't have photosynthesis, you don't have forests, you don't have food crops, you don't have grass, you don't have algae, nothing. You don't have the phytoplankton or whatever. You don't have life on planet Earth without photosynthesis. And photosynthesis, as I've been warning for years, has three inputs. What are the three? Three inputs. Number one, sunlight. Number two, carbon dioxide. Number three, water. And guess what? Guess what? The globalists are at war with all three. So they're going to dim the sun. That's now being openly talked about. They're going to block the sun, to stop global warming. That's what they say. Dim the sun. And then they're already using terraforming operations for carbon sequestration to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere. So that's atmospheric chemistry engineering, right? And those, we've talked about those programs. They're building giant machines all across the Midwest to suck CO2 out of the atmosphere, to liquefy it and you know, drive it through pipelines and store it underground. This is terraforming. This is a geoengineering operation. So that's CO2 that they're at war with. And then water, weather weapons, droughts, all engineered to deprive plants of water. So the three things that provide life on Earth, again, sunlight, CO2, and water, are all being destroyed or made scarce, let's say, by the globalists and the climate cult lunatics, by the way, who are at war with CO2, and they're at war with the sun. And they have a whole climate cult agenda. Oh, it's global warming. The sun is bad. Really? The sun's your source of life, you moron. Or they say, oh, carbon dioxide, it's a pollutant. We have to get rid of all CO2. Really, you moron? Without CO2, Earth would be a frozen ice ball planet with no life. But these people are idiots. This is why I keep saying they should launch themselves at the sun. Hey, how about you take a tour of the surface of the sun? Take a tour up close. Yeah, I'm sure we could scrounge up some kind of fundraising to build you a rocket ship so you could launch yourself off this planet and save us from you and your idiocy, you climate cultists. But they're a death cult. They want to destroy the entire planet. But of course, they describe it in terms of saying, oh, we want to save the planet. No, you are destroying the planet. But the point is, it's no longer a theory. It's not a conspiracy. It's not fiction. This is what they are doing. And now it is all admitted in the mainstream media. So think about that. That is something major has shifted. And that actually relates to another critical story today, which is that it comes to censorship. Now, because of this lawsuit, Missouri and Louisiana versus the Biden administration, and this recent decision by the judge to issue an injunction against the White House and the Biden regime, even it includes the CDC, the DOJ, HHS, and so on. This injunction says that they are not allowed to contact social media companies or tech companies to demand who to censor, what tweets to censor, what users to censor, what thoughts to censor, and so on. So in response to that now, the Biden administration has filed an action with the court, I don't know the proper name for it, demanding that they take down their injunctions so that the Biden regime can continue to overtly censor the American people, which is, of course, an admission that they need censorship. They want censorship. They're demanding censorship. They're no longer, in other words, pretending that they're not censoring, because that little scheme, that camouflage went on for quite a number of years. I know I was a major victim of that, where I would be censored, I would be deplatformed, and the media would say, oh, there's no censorship happening. That's a conspiracy theory. And of course, the very people who were being censored were being silenced, so they couldn't come on the platform and say, hey, I got censored. No, they're just gone. Which is, again, what happened to me on YouTube and Facebook and Google and everything, Pinterest and whatever, you name it, completely deplatformed. And Twitter, but my Twitter account's recently been turned back on, I guess thanks to Elon Musk. So I'm now on Twitter. My username there, by the way, is @HealthRanger. And somehow there's still like 135,000 followers that are still left over from 4+ years ago when I was deplatformed. So I haven't tweeted for 4 years and I still have 135,000 followers on Twitter. That's kind of funny. Half of those people are probably not even there anymore. But nevertheless, that's beside the point. So think about what the climate cult has in common with the censorship regime. For years, they denied that they were doing this. Now, they admit it. They admit everything at this point. In fact, Jeffrey Tucker at the America First Report, the website is AmericaFirstReport.com, says, quote, this is his headline, "The defenders of censorship now admit everything. They're no longer denying censoring. They've shifted tactics." I'm reading from his article. "Now they defend censorship as a policy in the national interest. They're merely stamping out disinformation and misinformation and malinformation, strange words applied to any thought or idea disliked by government. And they are furious that a federal judge in Louisiana has called them out, issuing an injunction to stop all contacts between government agencies and social media companies. And they are livid about this because they had come to believe that the First Amendment was a dead letter already." I'm sorry, I'm kind of performing this to add emphasis to it, but they say all the usual suspects have come out swinging while condemning the remarkable injunction from Missouri versus Biden as nothing more than a conservative plot. So anyway, the story goes on. It's a good story, but the point is they admit everything now. The White House admits they're censoring people. They're no longer pretending that they weren't. And the climate cultists admit they're geoengineering now. They're no longer pretending that's a conspiracy theory. And so, by the way, you know, we got to give credit to Alex Jones on this, because Alex Jones and people like Steve Quayle, and to some extent myself, and of course Dane Wigington and others, we were ahead of the curve on this for all these years. I mean, Alex Jones was right again. I mean, he warned about this. He warned about censorship happening. He was deplatformed, you know, around the same time that I was deplatformed. We were all deplatformed. And it was all true. It was all a malicious, illegal censorship, a violation of the First Amendment by the government itself. CISA, C-I-S-A, is the number one group, agency in the federal government that is carrying out these illegal, fascist violations of the First Amendment, depriving the American people of their civil rights, civil liberties, the right to speak, which is supposed to be protected by the First Amendment. It's the number one amendment. It's the very first one. And they violate that. And they've been doing so for years, and now they claim they must have that power to censor anyone who disagrees with government. Because if they don't, what are they going to do? Oh, we might have people disagreeing. Oh, we might have people talking about Hunter Biden's cocaine habit and underage Chinese prostitutes on his laptop or whatever. So you're not allowed to speak, and now it's all admitted. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, what else are they going to eventually admit to that they're now covering up? So think about it. The vaccines are depopulation bioweapons. They're designed to kill you. And they're killing millions of people right now. Or they have killed millions around the world, probably tens of millions at this point. Well, you know, the media says, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. It's not true. But how much you want to bet a few years later it'll all come out? Yeah, some whistleblower. Yeah, we designed it to kill people, you know. It'll all come out. It's just when it comes out. It's how much time takes place. And so on everything from the climate lunacy to, you know, central bank money printing and the coming great reset of the money supply to vaccines, to the rigging of the 2020 election, all these things, the truth will eventually come out. And do you realize that it's just an IQ test of how early you figure out the truth, how soon you figure it out before the oblivious masses are finally told the truth? I mean, it's an IQ test. Like, for example, if you bought the government's official story on the assassination of JFK all these years, you're kind of an idiot. You know, I mean, those of us who are informed, we knew, of course, the CIA took out JFK. Yeah, it's all coming out now. We knew it wasn't, Lee Harvey Oswald. No, he was a scapegoat, cover story. We've known this the whole time. What about 9/11, Building 7? Building 7 wasn't even hit by an airplane. And it was demolished. I mean, they ran demolition charges, brought the thing down perfectly pancake style. I mean, I interviewed, who was it? Richard Gage, I think, Architects and Engineers, one of the co-founders there, now has his own group, talking about the physical impossibility of Building 7 falling just because there was a fire. You know, the impossibility of the government's official narrative, the 9/11 Commission, actually holding any water and making any sense. But it's an IQ test. You know, for Americans who believe the official 9/11 commission, they're idiots. I mean, seriously, you got to be pretty stupid to believe the official explanation of the JFK assassination or 9/11 or COVID or the vaccines. Like, wow, how did it happen that the entire flu season vanished, but everybody has COVID now, but nobody has the flu anymore? I mean, in retrospect, it's obvious. They just relabeled the flu COVID. But there are still people who are lining up to take the jabs. Can you believe there are people that effing stupid on our planet that they're lining up to still take the jabs? You know, at this point, it's kind of like, you know, whatever happens, it's on you. You know, if you take yourself out, at this point, if you haven't figured out what's going on yet, you're probably not really qualified, you know, to be part of the future of the human race, is all I'm saying. But there are people who still believe that stuff. So it's an IQ test how soon you figure these things out, how early you become awake compared to when it's finally admitted. And you know, the truth about all these things, geoengineering, you know, the truth about 9/11, the truth about money printing and the planned implosion of the dollar, you know, the truth about the rigged 2020 election, the truth about the J6 staged insurrection, all these truths will always be denied by the establishment, because the establishment has a nefarious agenda. They are trying to first control everybody that they can't yet kill, but kill everybody they can. Or maybe I should have reversed that. They're trying to kill as many as possible and enslave those who survive. Like, that's their agenda. And that's what drives everything. All their decisions about censorship and so-called healthcare and abortions, you know, women's reproductive health. All their decisions are driven by that agenda, to kill as many humans as possible and enslave the survivors. Once you understand that, number one, you've passed the IQ test, and everything that happens in the world suddenly makes sense. There are no longer mysteries. It's like, oh my gosh, why do these crops fail? They're trying to kill you. It's weather weapons. They made the crops fail. Oh my God, why are these food plants burning down? You know, 100 plus. Because they're setting them on fire. I mean, it's not rocket science. All you have to do is just have functioning brain cells and you can figure out that, yeah, they are trying to kill us all through multiple vectors. Starvation, disease, like line up and take a death shot, you know, suicide jabs, you know, a financial collapse, probably like an EMP false flag, taking down the power grid, starting World War III, nuclear terrorism, on and on. These are all designed to do those two things I mentioned. Number one, to kill as many humans as possible. Number two, enslave the survivors. And probably ultimately kill those two. I mean, the globalists don't really want many human beings around. So the big, big picture here is they're no longer pretending that they're not doing these things. You know, at least on the geoengineering and on censorship and probably soon, you know, even vaccine depopulation. I mean, they've already admitted the vaccines don't work. They don't stop transmission. They don't stop infections. This is all admitted at this point. And there's a new paper with Dr. Peter McCullough, but based on a bunch of autopsies, that found that 74% of deaths were apparently caused by vaccines. I'm going to get you more details on that here in a second, because we'll cover that story. 74% of the deaths that were studied in this study were caused by vaccines. And it was a preprint in the Lancet, and then they pulled it. Because, you know, they can't have the truth getting out about that either, right? So here's the race that's happening, the competition, the urgency. The people of the world are waking up. More and more people are becoming aware of the scams, the schemes, the rigs, the rug pulls, all of it, right? More and more people are becoming aware the vaccines are killing people, the dollar's losing value, the 2020 election was rigged, you know, Building 7 was demolished with controlled explosions, and so on. you know, geoengineering is happening. They're trying to dim the sun. They're trying to collapse the biosphere. They're trying to shut down photosynthesis and starve everybody to death. And yeah, the U.S. Navy blew up Nord Stream. And Biden and the State Department are trying to get us into World War III with Russia and so on. Right? They want nuclear weapons. they want nukes to be detonated. Right? So these things are becoming more and more obvious to a greater number of people. So the race, like the race against time, is that the globalists are trying to kill people off faster than they are awakened or red-pilled, right? So the red-pilling is happening in spades. There's even red-pilling happening in the crypto industry, which I'll talk about in a second. People are getting red-pilled like never before. And this terrifies the globalists to the point where they have to try to escalate the extermination, you know, with genetically modified mosquitoes or whatever it takes, you know, another pandemic, a plandemic, another jab, engineered power grid failure, whatever it takes. But that's the race, because if enough people wake up and get red-pilled before the globalists can exterminate them, then there's going to be a global freaking revolution, an uprising against the cabal. A massive global uprising, which in some ways has already begun. Governments are falling, like the French government is falling right now, not because awake people are rioting, but rather because the invading migrants are rioting. But once the migrants take out the French government, if that happens, then the awake people will probably step in and reestablish, you know, the true France once again. But I think the awake people just standing back and just watching the migrant invaders fight the corrupt French government and just standing back and like waiting to see who wins. And I'm not even sure who does win that. We'll see. But a similar thing is probably going to happen in the UK and ultimately in the United States, which we'll get to also in a second here, because there's a fascinating story by Gordon Chang that we got to cover about that. But one thing I wanted to say about the red pilling real quick, which involves crypto. I've been doing quite a lot of deep dive into the crypto space recently, as you know, and I've got my new show that people are absolutely loving. It's called Decentralize TV. And if you go to that website, decentralize.tv, you'll see we've posted two episodes so far. There's two more coming next week, and we're going to be posting two episodes each week now, starting next week. And we're doing some amazing interviews, and I'm meeting some amazing people, and I'm also watching a lot of videos and listening to a lot of lectures. For example, I've been listening to pretty much every talk that was given at the recent Monerotopia event, which I think was in Mexico City, but I'm not sure exactly where it was. But I've been watching all these Monero videos and, you know, fascinating, learning a lot of stuff. And what's amazing to me is to see how the crypto community is getting so rapidly red-pilled about what's going on in the world. And I've come to the conclusion, I'll say it this way, Bitcoin is teaching the masses about honest money, and Monero is teaching the masses about private honest money. So Bitcoin, a lot of Bitcoin people now talk like Austrian economists, which is really fascinating because it didn't used to be this way 5 years ago. Bitcoin people, as they become educated about Bitcoin, which is honest money in the sense that it's an honest ledger, that you can't just print a bunch of Bitcoin like the Federal Reserve can print more money. You know, Bitcoin can't be rigged or gamed by governments or treasury departments or central banks. It's an honest money system in the sense that it's distributed. The rules are the rules. The algorithm runs itself. There's no one person in charge. There's no one person who can change the rules on you like the IRS does, you know. And so Bitcoin represents honest money. And as people learn about Bitcoin and start using it and start having control, custody over their own money, they become incredibly informed over time about how rigged the fiat currency system is. Because once you're used to controlling your own wallets, like, hey, I have my Bitcoin wallet and my coins are, quote, in my wallet. Well, they're not really in your wallet. They're actually on the blockchain. But your wallet has a claim to those coins, and so it appears that the coins are in your wallet. Technically, your wallet is a gateway to the coins that exist on the blockchain, which is replicated, you know, millions of places across the planet. So, in effect, the coins are in your wallet. Instead of money being in a bank, where the bank is the custodian of your money, and you hope one day that when you ask for your money back out of the bank, that they might give it to you. You do realize that when you deposit money in a bank, they own it. And you just have to hope they meet their obligations of the contract to give it back to you, because you're now a creditor of the bank. With Bitcoin, it's not that way at all. With Bitcoin, as long as you have the coins in your wallet, you have your seed phrase, you have your keys, you control it. Nobody else controls it, and you don't need anybody else's permission in order to use it. And also, you don't have to trust anybody else to hold on to it and take care of it and give it to you when you ask for it, because you have it. That's a beautiful thing. I think one of the best things about Bitcoin right now is it's teaching people about the Austrian economics principles, the freedom of self-custody, self-responsibility, self-reliance when it comes to money and finance. So it's a wonderful thing. I'm seeing a transformation across the Bitcoin ecosystem that, frankly, is really wonderful to see. I mean, I'm hearing Bitcoiners speak in ways that years ago would have only been like Lou Rockwell speaking like that, or Ron Paul. And now it's like everyday Bitcoiners are talking about this stuff. It's amazing. I mean, really, things have changed dramatically in a positive way. And then there's Monero, which it's said that Monero is what most noobs thought they bought when they bought Bitcoin, because Monero is kind of like Bitcoin, but private, where nobody can, you know, track your transactions and nobody can peer into your wallet and see how much you have there, which they can with Bitcoin. So Monero is private digital money. And when people first get into crypto, they usually start with Bitcoin and they learn about financial freedom and self-custody, self-responsibility. And then the next step is to learn about privacy, and then they go over to Monero or other private coins, right? And they go to Monero and they're like, well, this is even better because it's nobody's business how much money I have in my wallet here, or what I'm doing with it, or what I'm buying, or who I'm sending it to, or who I'm receiving it from, right? So Monero is teaching people about these critical principles of freedom and liberty and self-responsibility, which is the antithesis of socialism and communism and fascism. You see, centralization is communism. I mean, commune. I mean, it's the prefix of the word. It's all about centralized control, centrally planned economies, central manufacturing. You know, even your career is decided by a bureaucrat somewhere. But when it comes to economic freedom, it's decentralization, peer-to-peer, right? No central authority. No one can control you. No one can censor you. No one can shut the door on you. And I've been dealing with a lot of this lately, by the way, as I've been exploring different online exchanges. And I've had a lot of hassles with a lot of exchanges that have frozen my accounts or banned my accounts and so on. But there has been an interesting new development along those lines that I'll tell you about. Well, I'll just tell you briefly. So after my Kraken account was mysteriously closed down without me making a single trade, I simply deposited $1,000 at Kraken, and they closed my account, and they emailed me and they said, we're closing your account and we can't tell you why, and you're never allowed to use it again. Basically, it was Kraken just giving me the big FU, right? After that happened, and I went public with that a little bit, I complained about it on Telegram and Twitter. I was like, this is insane. I didn't even make a single trade. I didn't withdraw anything. I didn't even buy Bitcoin. I mean, I just deposited $1,000 and they closed my account. Well, somebody from Kraken actually reached out to me, and they apologized, and they said it was an error that they shut my account, and they wanted to reinstate me. And they said that it was essentially, as I understand it, their fraud system thought that someone was impersonating me, potentially, and that's why they closed the account. Like, they couldn't believe it was actually me or something. I'm like, why didn't you just call me? I mean, I gave you my phone number. But anyway, they did reach out. They did reach out, which is more than any other exchange has done. So they say they're going to turn the account back on, and I will tell you, I'll report to you if that happens. And if so, I'm going to be totally impressed, because that means Kraken actually has pretty amazing customer service. Like, they're willing to actually, you know, correct a mistake and reinstate people who shouldn't have been banned for whatever reason. So I'll keep you posted on that. That's fascinating. But, I mean, I would love to love Kraken, you know? I don't have anything inherently hateful against Kraken. I from everything I've heard, Kraken is a pretty awesome company. It was frustrating that they closed my account. But anyway, let's see if they reverse that. They say they're in the process of doing it. We'll see. And I'll keep you posted. But I've had all kinds of problems with banks that don't want me to have control over my own after-tax money, right? So I wouldn't consider myself a like wealthy person, but I do pay myself, you know, some level of salary, and we do have some very successful businesses and business units and platforms and so on, and I do handle, you know, many tens of millions of dollars of raw materials and products, you know, every year. And you know, I don't want to give out actual numbers, but we have a lot of people who support what we're doing, and they know I reinvest that money into building platforms and supporting freedom and liberty and so on. So yeah, I pay myself some amount. It's not some crazy amount, but it's some amount, and I pay tax on that. And my after-tax money, I don't want it sitting in the banks, because I don't trust the banks. I don't trust their custody. So I want to move it into the three things I've been talking about: gold and silver and crypto. And I found it's real easy to move into gold and silver, like I talked about yesterday, but I've been having a hard time moving some of it into crypto because of all these limitations. Limitations set mostly by the banks. Oh, you can only wire this much. You can only withdraw this much. You can only, you know, move around this much. And, you know, it's crazy. And I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of the banks. I'm sick of them not honoring the checks that we write, the donations that we make. You know, I'm sick of them asking questions when we have a big check to deposit. You know, I'm sick of them holding up everything. I just want to live in a world where I can just paste somebody's address into the send box in my wallet, you know, Bitcoin or Monero, even better, a privacy coin. I just want to send the freaking crypto and be done with it. And I don't want a bunch of gatekeepers flagging and asking questions and this and that, and you got to verify this and you got to double check that, and oh, you need to type in this code. No, I can be trusted to send the right amount of money to the right people, you know, to pay vendors, for example, or to offer donations to people, whatever the case may be, or to buy something. I would love to do all my shopping in a privacy coin, by the way. I would so much love that. I don't want to use credit cards ever again. And so it's the banks that are making this whole thing really ridiculously difficult. But I think private digital money especially has a very positive future. The more I look into it, the more I'm convinced that when the world discovers what a scam the dollar is, and what a scam the banks are, what a scam the money printing is, they're going to flood into money that they control, self-custody and private money. I look at some of these projects like Monero, or, you know, there's some others. We're going to be interviewing some amazing pioneers coming up. I look at these projects and I think, my goodness, look how valuable they are right now, and there's only this tiny fraction of the population even using them. You know, the inherent value in this technology is gigantic. It's almost unimaginable. And I keep almost kicking myself, like, how is it that the whole world isn't using this yet? And I guess it takes time for people to learn about it and embrace it. And, you know, there are some barriers to entry, like what I've just described, you know, getting out of the banking system. They make it as difficult as possible. But I think over time, as, you know, private digital money especially gets easier to use and there are more technological advancements and wallets get easier and so on. I plan to do everything in the world of crypto in terms of finance. I don't want to deal with banks ever again, period. If I could just be completely unbanked for the rest of my life and just do everything in crypto, I would do it right now. Believe me, I would volunteer to be unbanked. And maybe it'll happen to me anyway because, you know, because of who I am. Sooner or later, they'll probably close all my bank accounts and then I'll give them the big F you. I'm already out, you assholes. I'm already in crypto. Too late, motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Sorry about the profanity, but I think it was very appropriate in this particular context. Anytime I curse, just imagine it's Samuel Jackson. And then it's even better. Just imagine it's Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. And then it really counts. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jackson. All right, couple more stories here that we got to cover. What is it about all these people losing their minds on the airplanes lately? I'm not even going to play the videos, but there was a video a couple days ago about a woman on the plane. You probably saw this. I think half the world saw this video where she is clearly maybe inebriated in some way. She was sitting in the back of the plane, and now she's running up to the front of the plane, and she turns around and addresses all the other passengers. She says something like, "I'm telling you, that man is not real." And everybody turns around and like, what's she talking about? Somebody's not real? She said, "You're all gonna die." And then she just runs off the plane. It was great entertainment, by the way. I mean, just classic stuff. The best thing on video. But kind of spooky, too, if you're on that flight. Like, what is she seeing? A ghost? Or is she just had too much to drink? Well, there was some other guy on a flight, I think in the UK, and he snapped recently, and it was just some kind of crazy fight. It seems like every couple of days you see people losing their minds on airplanes. Well, I want to point out that an airplane is a captive cylinder where people are put together in an enclosed space and the door is shut. It's kind of like a little trap. And what's happening on a lot of these flights reminds me of what happens when you have overcrowding in mouse experiments. Like the mouse utopia experiment I've talked about before, where they let all the mice breed with unlimited food and water and space. And then after a few generations, they all just became a suicide cult. Seriously, this was all documented. I think it was in the late 1960s and early 70s, I believe. It's called the Mouse Utopia Experiments, if you want to look that up on YouTube or somewhere. We did a story about it, too, on Natural News, and I've talked about it before. But the mice turned into a suicide cult, and they just started dying, and eventually they all died. And it was crazy because a lot of the mice would turn transgender. And then the mothers would just start abandoning their children, like abortions, you know, like compared to modern day abortions. And some of the male mice would start raping the children. So there was like sodomy, there was pedophilia in the mouse world. And then they would fight a lot. And then in the mouse world, there would also be this protected class of females that would just sit around grooming themselves. They were called the beautiful ones. They were like the Kardashians of the mouse world, right? And they wouldn't mate with anybody, by the way. They wouldn't mate. There was no reproduction. They would just sit around grooming and licking their fur and wanting to look nice while society collapsed all around them. It's perfect metaphor for the celebrity worship in today's twisted culture, right? So the mouse population just totally collapsed and they all died out. And this experiment was repeated time and time again. And in every case, when mice were presented with unlimited food, unlimited water, in other words, welfare, universal basic income, and unlimited space, they got everything for free, in every case, they all died. But before they died, they became woke. They became LGBT. You know, pedophilia, grooming, child raping, whatever. So what we are seeing in society today on the airplanes with all these people losing their minds and with the pedophilia and the child mutilations and all the transgenderism and all this stuff, this is exactly on track for the suicide cult phase that humanity is in right now. And we know how this ends. It ends with the collapse of the population. Just like with the mice. I'm not saying humans are mice, by the way. Mice are not dumb enough to put pesticides on their food. I'm not saying humans are mice, because mice normally don't mutilate the genitalia of their children, by the way. So no, I'm not saying humans are mice. I'm saying a lot of humans are dumber than mice. More insane than mice. More suicidal and less likely to survive than mice. I mean, in the Mouse Utopia experiments, what we learned is that if you don't have challenges for the next generation, if they don't have to learn to do anything, then you have no future. If everybody gets everything for free and there's nothing is difficult and you don't have free market competition and scarce resources that you have to compete for, then you have no future for your civilization. In other words, a welfare society will collapse, but before it collapses, it will turn into freaking, you know, woke-tard culture, suicide, which we see today with the climate cult and the woke cult and the trans cult. It's all exactly the same thing. You know, these experiments should have been a warning sign for humanity, but we're seeing it all happening right now. So if you see people snapping around you, don't be surprised. It's just a sign of the collapse of the human race. It should be totally expected at this point, because socialism has brought about wokeism, and wokeism is bringing about suicide cultism, which will end with the collapse of at least some significant portion of the species. And that's even without all the globalists trying to exterminate billions of people on top of that. It's actually not very difficult for the globalists to kill billions of people. Pretty much all they have to do is just give everybody free money for a while and they will suicide themselves. You know, they will abandon their children. They'll mutilate their children as they're doing now. I mean, how do these trans lunatics think that they have a future, by the way? They mutilate their children's genitalia. How do you expect to reproduce? How are you going to have families? You're not. You're done. You're the end of the family tree. If it was a tree, it's like a family shrub. It's like a family totem pole in some places. But it's done. It's done. There's no future in that. They will not inherit the earth. They will just die. And that's exactly what we're observing. Oh, by the way, I got to read you this. This is from Gordon Chang. And I don't know if he likes it pronounced Chang. I mean, that's more of the Chinese way to pronounce it, Chang. But Americans typically look at that last name and they pronounce it Chang. So I don't know which way he prefers, but whatever. I'm going to call him Chang because that's just because I speak Chinese. So he says, China's saboteurs are coming to America. And by the way, we're going to invite Gordon Chang for an interview here. And he's, I think he knows Michael Yan, too. So, in fact, yeah, I think they know each other quite well. So maybe we'll get Gordon Chang on the show at some point. He's done some amazing work. But here's what he says. China's saboteurs are coming to America. Now, remember that I've been warning about this for quite some time, right? I've warned about how Chinese military-age men, basically CCP troops, have been invading America. They've been placed, so they're already occupying certain areas, and they have supplies in America. And I've specifically stated in this podcast multiple times that these troops are going to be given what we call an activation day. And on the activation day, they're going to do what? They're going to attack the infrastructure. They're going to blow up the refineries and blow up the bridges and, you know, take down the power grid substations and, you know, burn down the police stations and blow up the ports or whatever they can do just to cause chaos across America. And this comes to me from multiple sources, of course, over the years that I've been interviewing key people. So now here's what Gordon Chang says. These are just a few bullet points here. Quote, there's now a Chinese invasion of the U.S. homeland. Next point. Chinese migrants are entering the United States on foot at the southern border. Almost all are desperate, seeking a better life for themselves. However, some are coming to commit acts of sabotage. Many Chinese are short-circuiting the long waits at the consulates. At the southern border, Chinese migrants are entering the United States in unprecedented numbers. Once here, the military fighters link up with China's agents already in place, or Chinese diplomats. So yes, There are CCP handlers already in place all across America. They work in the universities, by the way. They work in governor's offices in places like California. They work in corporations, high-tech corporations, and weapons manufacturing, by the way. They're stealing secrets every day, but they're also getting ready for the big, you know, takeover attempt. Okay, he continues, Mr. Chong. How many of the PLA fighters have slipped into the United States this way? Some estimate 5,000, others 10,000. Those numbers sound high, but whatever the actual figure, more are coming. I can tell you it's actually 400,000 plus. It's not just 5 or 10,000. It's 400,000 and rising. Okay, Mr. Chong continues. These are China's shock troops. Shock troops. The concern is that on the first day of war in Asia, they will take down America's power lines, poison reservoirs, assassinate officials, start wildfires, spread pathogens, and create terror by bombing shopping malls and supermarkets. Got it? And yeah, I pointed that out too. They're going to assassinate mayors and police chiefs and governors if they can, and also senators and so on. They're going to run massive assassination operations to try to take out America's political leadership. Poisoning the reservoirs is very easy for them to do. Reservoirs, water supplies are not well protected, by the way, so they can easily drop all kinds of stuff. Hexavalent chromium, for example, or who knows, radioactive isotopes, whatever. And since, by the way, since all across America, we have this biosludge operation, which is another form of suicide, where you take all the sewage of every city in America and you take it and you just dump it on farms and you call it fertilizer, right? That's called biosludge. I did a whole film on that, as you may know. It's called Biosludged, and that's the website, biosludged.com. If you want to watch that movie, I interviewed EPA whistleblower and scientist Dr. David Lewis, who was threatened by the deep state when he tried to go public warning about this practice. But the point is, he warned, by the way, in that film and in his book called Science for Sale, he warned that a terrorist could easily come to the United States and just start poisoning the sewage system by just dumping, you know, toxic substances down the city's sewer lines, which is easy. Just find a manhole cover. Or can you even call it a manhole cover now? Or do you have to call it like a person hole cover? Or is it a bonus hole cover? I don't know. But we used to call it a manhole cover. You just pop open a manhole cover if you're a terrorist, and you just dump whatever poison's right down there, and then guess what? Your city is going to distribute that poison onto all the farms, because that's what they do now. That's the practice of shipping out all the feces. It's just the dumbest and most insane suicide actual poisoning of the country. That's what it is. So it's very easy for these PLA operatives to poison the whole country because America already spreads the poison. I mean, America is a suicide cult. It's just insane. And then, you know, spreading pathogens, well, that's easy. I mean, look how quickly Fauci managed to do it. Or Bill Gates' mosquitoes, right? Creating terror by bombing shopping malls and supermarkets. Well, yeah, they're probably going to do that. All right, so Mr. Chong continues, the saboteurs will almost certainly attack American military bases. Well, and guess what? They won't meet any resistance there because the military bases are all staffed up by, like, woke cross-dressing transgender soldiers now who are basically obese trannies who can't pass the physical fitness test because all the testing standards have been dropped if you're trans. We just did a story on that. If you're joining the army and you say, if you're a biological man, you say you're a woman and you're an obese man pretending to be a woman, you don't have to pass the physical fitness standard. Did you know that? So, I mean, I'm not trying to be especially derogatory here, but America's military bases will be guarded by fat trannies, like obese, high heel wearing, panty wearing soldiers that can't fight. So it's a joke. That America's military is becoming a joke to the entire world. because of the trans agenda. It's a freaking joke. You think that the PLA soldiers that have been trained hardcore in China, you think they're afraid of some obese tranny guarding the gate at some, you know, military camp? No, they're not afraid. And you know, look, I want to be clear. I'm not trying to be derogatory against all soldiers, not by any means. I've always supported veterans, but it's the veterans who join me in being incensed about this insanity. When did the U.S. military turn into some culture experiment in transgenderism instead of building fighting men who can defend the nation against foreign enemies? I mean, the guys that I know, that I trained with, you know, because I trained thousands of hours with various people, you know, Navy SEALs, special forces, and so on over the years in various skills. So I know a lot of these guys, and they think this whole thing going on right now is totally insane. They're with me on this point. And it's not the military that they were part of. When they were in, men were men. Men could fight. Everybody else was sissies. Kick them out the back door. And that's what you need in the military, by the way. But today, it's like, oh, it's got to be all cross-dressing trannies guarding the military bases. So anyway, my point is the Chinese, they're not afraid of fat trannies guarding the military bases. Trust me. Okay. Then Mr. Chang goes on to say, quote, when the Chinese Communist Party starts its war against Taiwan and the United States, Americans should expect that Chinese sleeper agents now in America will hit targets like gas stations, and military-aged Chinese now crossing our border will be mobilized for assassination attacks and assaults on U.S. military bases. Okay, correction, that's actually a quote from Richard Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center talking to Gatestone June 17th, 2023. So that's a quote from Richard Fisher that Mr. Chang is actually quoting. I should have said that up front. Chang goes on to say the next war in Asia will almost certainly be fought on U.S. soil, perhaps on its first day, and that unsuspecting Americans will be in the fight. They will find themselves in the fight. And he says that although immigrants make countries strong, and most of the Chinese crossing the southern border will contribute to American society, but some of them, he says, are coming to wage war on the United States. And I think that assessment is accurate. I agree that there are some very good, you know, Christian Chinese families, couples that are coming to America. I think I interviewed one of them when Michael Yan had me talking to them in Chinese in the San Vicente camp in Panama. We stopped a Chinese couple and I talked to them, in Mandarin and confirmed they were going to America. Seemed like a nice couple. In fact, I think Michael Yan has kept in touch with that couple. Now, granted, I don't approve of illegal border crossing. If they want to immigrate to America, they should follow the rules like everybody else was supposed to. But some people are coming to America across the border in order to carry out acts of war against the United States. Michael Yan sees it. Gordon Chang sees it. I see it. And yet, the leaders of our country are so focused on turning everybody into transgenders that they have no bandwidth or mental capacity to protect America from an invasion force that means to destroy this nation and to bring it to its knees. Think about that. Our so-called leadership, number one, they're all illegitimate. They were not elected. They stole the election. They rigged it. They're cheaters. And they're pathetic. And they hate America. They hate everything America stands for. They want to see America brought to its knees. So what they're doing is deliberate. And then millions of Americans are so apathetic, they're asleep at the wheel. They don't think any of this is happening. Imagine the surprise that's coming to these people when the day comes that there's, you know, like a CCP warrior at their front door shooting at them with an AK-47. Or blowing up the local power station with portable 60 millimeter mortars. Because they have those too. or they're shooting a commercial aircraft out of the sky using ground-to-air missile systems, just hanging out near the airports and just shooting down, you know, jumbo jets. That day's coming too, by the way. You might not know about it when it happens because you won't have any power. Your power grid's going to go down. That's why you need backup power, backup communications. That's why I talk about these things. You know, the ballistic vests and the satellite comms. You know, all these things. There's a purpose behind this. A purge day is coming. You know, Chong calls them shock troops. I just called them, I don't know what, like occupying foreign agents ready to carry out acts of war against the United States. And that day is coming. And believe me, when it does, you think the banks are going to be open? You think your bank's going to work? No. Guess what will still work as long as the power is on? Crypto will still work. And if the power is off, gold and silver will still work. Banks won't work. Banks are toast. Cell towers, toast. Grocery stores, toast. That's why you got to have a food supply. You got to have, you know, backup satellite comms. You got to have your firearms ready, your bullets, your ballistic vests, your garden seeds. You know, all the stuff that we talk about. Pretty much all our sponsors are things that you need. That's why I agreed to allow them to sponsor the show. You know, speaking of that, ballistic armor, hoplitearmor.com, H-O-P-L-I-T-E, garden seeds, arcseedkits.com, that's A-R-K, seedkits.com, satellite comms, go to beready123.com, beready123.com, firearms, go to shieldarms.com, they've got the folding AR-15s, and on all these sites, try using discount code RANGER. You'll get normally you get some kind of discount or saving just by using discount code RANGER. There are a lot of things that you need to be ready for this because this day is coming. It's not science fiction, folks. It's actually a plan that's been allowed by the Biden regime because the Bidens have been blackmailed and controlled by China. They've been extorted. That's why, I mean, they could never pass a security check. You know, national security check. So we've been compromised. Our president, our so-called president, fake president, works for China. And China is being allowed to invade and overtake the United States of America. So that's just one level of the destruction that's happening. And then there's the global destruction, the global depopulation, which sits above all that. And that's the geoengineering, you know, the global famine, the thermonuclear war, weather weapons, financial reset, all those things. So now what we're going to do actually is go to the interview with Dane Wigington, since I'm about an hour into this already. We're going to go to Dane Wigington so that he can give you even worse news than what I just gave you. His news makes the news you just heard sound mild, by the way. So, you know, buckle up, put on your seatbelt, or your diaper, whatever you need to handle what's coming. Because Dane Wigington's going to lay it out for you here. All right? Enjoy the interview. You need to know this stuff because we all have to be ready for what's coming. So that's my audio segment for today. Dane Wigington coming up next. And let's see, being that it's Friday today. Oh, yeah, I have some special reports that we'll post this weekend. And then Monday, I'll bring you the interview with Dr. Kirk Moore and another episode of Decentralize TV runs on Monday. I think that's the local Monero episode, by the way, so you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. A lot coming up. So enjoy the interview with Dane Wigington straight ahead.
Today's interview on Brighteon.com features Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. And Dane Wigington is one of our favorite guests, and our fans also love his material, even though he scares everybody with the truth about what's going on with weather weaponization and now crop failures. And I'm a big fan of Dane. I've got his shirt right here, the Geoengineering Watch shirt right there. Yeah, see that? Geoengineeringwatch.org. Thanks for sending that, Dane. And welcome to the show today. It's great to have you on.
Deepest gratitude to you, Mike, for all you've done to pull back the curtain and expose the insanity behind it. And with what's happening in our skies, imperative that populations understand the gravity of the threat it poses to all of us. It's not just weather warfare, but also biological warfare because of the toxic elements that are a part of these programs. So again, as you correctly stated, they're targeting not only food supplies, but the air column is being contaminated. We're all breathing it. This is a multi-leveled threat.
So let's start with the more recent news. Every day, of course, you know, I'm assigning stories to my writers and I'm doing my own broadcast and I'm seeing crop failures across the Midwest, wheat crops just being devastated by the current drought conditions. And then, of course, in other places around the world, you know, floods and storms and so on. Let's just start with the basics. This, what we're seeing right now across the Midwest, this is not normal for this area and this time of year, is it?
No, I would cite that nothing's normal anymore in respect to weather and climate systems. And Mike, perhaps you saw that the White House released late last week their statement that they were studying the injection of aerosols into the sky to yes. block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, as if it hasn't been going on for 75 plus years already. And that is indicative of the insane asylum that we live in, that they can pretend that they could, may, might geoengineer someday if things get bad enough, as if it's not bad enough already, as if they're not conducting weather warfare already, and again, have been for 75 plus years. What we desperately need is for populations to wake up, look up, and understand that we're in a very real fight for life right now.
And I'm glad you brought this point up because, yeah, it was big news. It was covered by the mainstream media all over the world, including in the UK Daily Mail, that the White House is reviewing a plan to block the sun. And they even called it geoengineering in the headlines that I saw. And yet, yes. 5 years ago, they said it was all a conspiracy. There's no such thing. It's not happening. So, Dane, what do you think changed where they're now admitting that geoengineering is a good thing in their view? It was a conspiracy theory. Now it's a good policy to save the planet, according to them. What do you think?
It's called putting lipstick on the pig and hoping the public will accept it. And this is, at this point, they are desperate because this elephant in the sky is becoming all but impossible to hide. They're wreaking havoc around the globe. Other countries are waking up to this as well, that their governments have been participating either actively or passively in these programs, being strong-armed by the larger powers to participate. And the very premise for these programs, Mike, and this is imperative for populations to understand, the very foundation in which these programs are pushed on populations is that they mimic the temporary cooling effect of volcanic eruptions. But we now know from the latest and most up-to-date data that even volcanic eruptions only provide very temporary toxic cooling. And this is far more toxic still because we're talking about aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants, graphene. After that temporary cooling period, these types of operations to saturate the sky with these light scattering particles not only destroy photosynthesis, the ozone layer, contaminate everything, but it causes a worsened, much worse, overall long-term warming. Why would that be a surprise? And anybody who, for example, in the case of the ozone layer disintegration alone, which is by itself an existential threat, anybody that fills the surfaces of cars or how fast the interiors, have you noticed that, Mike, how fast the interiors of cars heat up now? That is incredibly penetrating thermal energy because of the destruction of the ozone layer. Again, that factor, primary cause, climate engineering, not hairspray cans.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. But I did want to show my screen here for those who are skeptical of what you and I are talking about, Dane. So here it is from the UK Daily Mail. More gloomy news from Biden. White House says it's open to plan that would block sunlight from hitting surface of the earth in a bid to limit global warming. Now, I believe this headline has been altered because I thought I saw geoengineering in the original headline, but they do have it in the subhead. The White House has opened the door to an audacious geoengineering plan. So here it is in the mainstream media, and this is dated July 1st, 2023. So it's recent. And then the UK Daily Mail, to their credit, they say that scientists have warned the practice could have devastating effects. And that's part of what you were just talking about there, Dane. You know, this is, I call it terraforming also as well. You know, it's geoengineering, but they're altering planetary chemistry, which can have devastating effects across the entire biosphere, as you have been warning about for so many years. Your thoughts?
been trying to warn at the top of my lungs for, yes, over 15 years, and that damage is manifesting catastrophically right now. And when they refer to, if they deploy this, it could, may, might have devastating consequences, we are already there, long since been there. And you can't just turn this off. They've committed us all to an experiment from which there is no return without public knowledge or consent. And again, the total consequences of these programs can scarcely be comprehended or quantified. Not only contaminating every breath we take, they're the core causal factor for the fires, Mike. We see they're already telling us, they're programming populations to accept that the Canadian fires are going to burn all year long.
Really?
And that is a part that absolutely are. They're already warning us, expect those fires to burn until the winter snows come. How do they know that? Because that is a part of the plan. That is a part of the agenda. Wildfires serve geoengineering agenda. Please, if you're listeners, just search that title, one of our most important reports that has scientific study in it that advocates for the intentional incineration of northern latitude forests to put enough particulate matter into the sky to provide temporary cooling. That is true desperation to incinerate the planet's last remaining life support systems to mask the severity of damage done to the planet already, so much of it from climate engineering. And think about that insanity. Let's do more of what we've been doing to try to mask the damage done from what we've been doing. Is that not insane? If I could, before I toss this back, let me add one more layer of insanity. It appears in the case of the ozone layer and the methane buildup that's happening in the atmosphere. And not methane from cow flatulence. This is methane from thawing methane hydrate and clathrate releases that are happening in Arctic tundra and on the seafloor, which climate engineering is making far worse, not better. We have Project Lucy, that's an acronym. Project Alamo, that's an acronym. For microwaving the atmosphere with opposing frequencies in an incredibly desperate and dangerous attempt to try to molecularly degrade the methane. What are the consequences from those programs on top of everything else? Layer upon layer of insanity, Mike. Just like you know so well, more than almost anyone on the planet, or you're certainly top in your field in this, that the pharmaceutical industrial approach, take this pharmaceutical for that symptom, and then 10 other pharmaceuticals for the consequences of the side effects of that, 10 more for, it just never, it doesn't end. It's a cascading collapse scenario, and that's what we face.
We're living in a kill zone. I'm convinced that humanity has been labeled for extermination on a planetary scale. I don't think they're going to completely succeed, but I think they will kill 1 to 2 billion human beings before these extermination attempts are halted. Those deaths have already begun, and sadly, the famine and food supply problems caused by geoengineering could kill even more than 1 to 2 billion people. You know, everybody has to eat, and there's, you know, if you cut off half the world's food supply, then you kill 4 billion people, by the way. And that can be done with this climate engineering that's taking place. So the only question in my mind, Dane, is how many deaths can we limit this to, right? I mean, the deaths are already happening, and you know the mechanisms as well as I. Can we save half of humanity? Can we have 4 billion people left by the end of this? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that number would be very optimistic, and I know that that's a difficult pill to swallow. And we at geoengineeringwatch.org, as you know, we fully acknowledge that we have damaged the planet in countless ways. We've been very poor stewards of the planet, no arguing that. But for any environmental group, the Al Gores of the world and the rest of them, for them to pretend that they care about the environment while systematically ignoring, denying, and trying to marginalize this massive, biggest single part of the equation that's wreaking havoc on the planet's remaining life support systems, derailing them, preventing them from responding to the damage already done. That is a criminal act, Mike. Yes. Every single environmental group, every so-called climate scientist that's denying this, pretending it's just a proposal we could, may, might do someday, that is absolutely inexcusable. And if we can wake the populations up to this criminal denial across the board, one can only imagine they would take to the streets with their proverbial pitchforks and torches. And that time needs to come fast, because the planet is unable to respond to the damage done because of these programs, which are not benevolent in any way, shape, or form. This is weather warfare and biological warfare, period.
Yeah, good point. And I'm glad you brought up the Canadian wildfires. Let's talk about that for a minute, because the burning that has already taken place is mind-boggling. I don't know how many acres Do you know how many is it? Yeah, go ahead.
Since May 1st, Canada has lost on average 330,000 acres every single day.
Oh my
since
God.
May 1st. Well over 20 million acres and counting.
Oh my God.
Again, it's off the scale. And what most Americans don't know is Siberia burning just as horrifically. Americans have no idea that's occurring. And you have the superpowers, whatever their surface conflicts are, the whole Ukraine situation, they are absolutely colluding and cooperating on climate engineering. And we have Senate documents to prove this, some of them 800 pages long. So you have this behind the curtain collusion. They all have their own agendas. But on the climate engineering issue, Russia incinerating their forests in Siberia, the same as Canada's here. It seems everybody takes their turn. And that's something that is difficult to ferret out and prove, of course. But you have one area burning one year, another area burning another year. California certainly has had its turn. And then suddenly, at the onset of last winter, when more drought was predicted, more drought was scheduled. I don't want to call it prediction because this is simply the scheduled weather. And then, for reasons that we can speculate on, they changed the script. And they sent the Snowmageddon into California, the toxic Snowmageddon, which is not restoring forest here, Mike. The fir trees are dying every bit as fast and faster than before this toxic precipitation was allowed to fall, because that doesn't rejuvenate forests. As you know about soil microbiome and root systems. And when you're dumping toxic rain on those already damaged systems, you only do more damage. So the fir die-off here is faster than ever. In fact, it's so bad, when the fir tree is the predominant tree in the western forests, there's science reports out now called Firmageddon, indicating that the die of the fir trees is so cataclysmic.
The collapse of these multiple biospheres, even in the ocean as well, will have devastating consequences on the ability of human civilization to survive. I think people underestimate how much we depend on natural systems to function. For example, pollinators. Without pollinators, we starve. I mean, about a third of the food that we eat typically in any given meal comes from plants that require, pollination. And without that, first of all, California's agricultural industry would absolutely collapse. And I think that process is underway right now. Can I ask you a question about the Canadian wildfires again? I didn't quite finish that. By what mechanism is it your understanding that how are the fires being set or sustained? How do they start these fires?
That would be another subject besides the foundational factor of climate engineering setting the stage for those fires to burn with such ferocity. That's what's prepping the forest in a way that allows it to burn with that kind of ferocity. Now, we looked at the satellite imagery of a lot of these startups. There were no disturbances. There were no convective storm cells above. There should have been no lightning there. They started almost simultaneously. It certainly looks like some sort of coordinated arson. The key factor here is what has set the template for these fires to burn. GeoengineeringWatch.org found a 140-page U.S. military document titled Forest Fires as a Military Weapon.
Wow.
There were about 18 sites named inside North America in that document. So why would they be studying sites for this type of forest preparation, which involves exactly what we're seeing, for preparation up to 2 years for some of these forests to dry them out, contaminate soils, cause this dead buildup of material, and then the forest can burn with immense ferocity, causing firestorms? It's exactly what we see. It's named in this military document. How much proof do we need that they are at this? When we have peer-reviewed science study that's, again, in the short report titled Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda, one of our most important short reports, peer-reviewed science study advocating for incinerating northern latitude forests to provide temporary cooling. So, Mike, you remember when the fires first ignited, all this smoke drifted down over the U.S. Northeast, right?
Yep.
Temperatures dropped precipitously.
That's right.
About 25, 30 degrees. Now, it's counterintuitive for some people. They think, how can a wildfire create cooling? But when you're putting that much particulate matter into the atmosphere and blocking that much sunlight, you definitely can cool the surface temporarily. But at what cost to the planet? Destroying our remaining life support systems forever? And because trees aren't growing back, Mike, because of the ozone layer is so damaged, soils are so compromised, and the precipitation cycle so disrupted, Now the success rate for planting saplings in Northern California, and I know because I do this on the preserve that I manage, I did this, a success rate 15 years ago of 95% for the saplings making it through the first year, success rate now is zero. Nothing makes it through the first year. And back to the food supplies, which you mentioned, it's not just crops collapsing. And again, climate engineering drying out the atmosphere, which is not only contaminating soils, but changing atmospheric RH, relative humidity. So we have vapor pressure deficit. The lack of humidity causes everything from crops to forests to shut their stomata, their respiratory ports. The organisms don't breathe. They don't absorb carbon. They don't release oxygen. They don't grow. We have that factor. The ozone layer destruction, releasing immense UV radiation on oceans, which is destroying plankton, bottom of the food chain on planet Earth. 90% decline in the Atlantic already, 90% globally, a 90% decline in pelagic fish populations as a food fish. And as you so correctly stated a moment ago, how many rely on that bounty from the sea? It's 2 to 3 billion as a primary source. And nature, as you also correctly said a moment ago, has historically provided 75% of all global GDP for free.
No more. So we're talking about an economic collapse, of course, following the biosphere collapse that's being engineered. Now, I want to bring people's attention to photosynthesis here for a second, but first through global dimming. Now, you've done a lot of work about dimming, and I think you have a documentary on dimming on your website, geoengineeringwatch.org. I think I saw that. Here it is. It's called The Dimming. That's something that people need to watch right there. Dimming can happen from volcanoes. As I know you know this, Dane. I'm just repeating this for the audience. Volcanoes, and by the way, there's another volcano that just today I found out there's been 1,200 earthquakes, and there might be another volcano that's about to blow. We'll see, in the weeks ahead. But volcanoes eject enormous material, particulate matter, into the upper atmosphere, sometimes reaching the stratosphere. There's also, of course, the forest fires that you were just talking about, and that releases particulate matter, which causes dimming and cooling. And then in addition to that, there's stratospheric aerosol injection, which is admitted by the government, and this is part of the government's plan to cause dimming. But in each of these cases, the dimming, of course, blocks photosynthesis. And photosynthesis is essential. It's critical, obviously, for life on Earth, because that's what all plants use in order to have the energy to function, to grow and to produce crops and leaves and stems and roots and so on, and to synthesize the molecules that we call nutrition, by the way. How do you think vitamin C gets made by an orange? Well, it uses energy from the sun through photosynthesis, plus carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, plus water from its roots, to synthesize vitamin C, which is made of nothing but hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen in a certain configuration. That's all there is in vitamin C, is HCO. So, look up the molecule if you don't believe me. But without photosynthesis, doesn't this entire system, Dane, grind to a halt?
It does. It absolutely does. Photosynthesis, by the way, stops at 104 degrees Fahrenheit. It tapers down up to that point, stops completely at that point. Now let's add what you just mentioned so correctly, that the scattering of the light spectrum in the atmosphere, which is never mentioned on any geoengineering study of any sort. They don't mention what it does to photosynthesis. They don't mention, by the way, everything we spray in the sky is going to settle down through the air column. We all get to breathe it, where it contaminates virtually everything on the planet. None of that ever mentioned in so-called science studies from the so-called science community. So the bottom line, from every conceivable direction, they are decimating the planet's life support systems. And on the aspect of, again, with photosynthesis, vapor pressure deficit, destroyed soil microbiome. We know aluminum is very toxic to root systems. It causes them to shut down nutrient uptake. They die a slow, protracted death. And in the case of the samples we have taken, and we've taken hundreds, by the way, not just across the U.S., but around the world, we've taken about 500 from a single state in the U.S., which we haven't disclosed yet. And we have extrapolated what the total likely global dispersion is of all elements combined in this mix, which again is a very lethal array of toxic elements, somewhere between 40 to 60 million tons a year of nanoparticles being dispersed in the skies. And Mike, you saw the studies about mainstream media warning people of just how dangerous the smaller air pollution particles are from the fires, PM2.5. You saw those articles,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what people need to understand is they're not even looking for, let alone reporting or disclosing, the much more lethal particles that are much smaller than PM2.5. And those are climate engineering elements, which are nanoparticles. So you have this mountain of even more toxic particles, of even more toxic elements being dispersed often directly above the smoke canopies. That's critical to understand. We have film footage of this, for example, of the Paradise Fire blanket, geoengineering jet aerosol spraying directly on top of the smoke bank. Whatever that's about, it's not benevolent. And we have also, so people understand, Mike, you've seen all the massive hail events of late.
Yeah.
Now it's common. Everything's 2-inch hailstones or bigger, doing tons, immense damage everywhere, right?
Yes, I've seen that. They've destroyed solar farms and greenhouses in many cases across America. Yeah, crazy, like almost baseball-size hail.
Yes, that's chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Those are patented processes. People can see those patents at geoengineeringwatch.org. They can search the engineering winter section. So when you see these flash cool downs, when it goes from record highs of 115 or 20 and drops 50 degrees in hours, they are chemically seeding those clouds. Chemical ice nucleating elements causes the nucleation process to start much sooner at much higher temperatures, and you end up with massive hailstorms, and that's exactly what that's about. None of this being disclosed by the so-called science community.
And you know, the hail also just obliterates crops. And that's what people need to understand too. I mean, not just greenhouses, but crops on the ground, anything you're growing, alfalfa, whatever, corn, it's done. Gets hit by a hailstorm and it's done.
And you're correct.
And so photosynthesis being under attack with global dimming, plus you just mentioned hail, plus then you have floods and droughts. And, you know, instead of the weather, how it used to be, like when I was growing up, you always had a kind of a balance, kind of a mix. It would rain a little bit. It'd be sunny a little bit. You know, it'd get hot a few days in the summer, but not insane. You know, and you'd have, of course, snow in the winter. I grew up in the Midwest. So you'd have all this mix, but nothing got super crazy, at least that I recall, you know, growing up. And now it seems like it's crazy all the time everywhere. It's just the extremes have become the norm. And I mean, you're seeing that too, right? That you're documenting it.
The only ones that aren't seeing it, Mike, are those that have their eyes wide shut. And this is, again, they're telling us, they're forewarning us. It seems to be part of their protocol to expect it to get much, much worse. And we at geoengineeringwatch.org are not ignoring, again, the fact that we have been poor stewards of the planet. We are not ignoring that. We're not denying that. We never have. What we're saying is there is no legitimate discussion about climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost addressing this elephant in the equation, which is the most destructive single factor of all. We have to deal with this. We have to get it out in the open. We have to stop it. If we don't, we're on a very limited time frame. And as you so correctly stated a moment ago, the crushing of crops, flash hailstones, storms, flash freezes, flash droughts, flash floods. And this material is very cold to the touch, Mike. So we've seen, like in the late winter and early spring, when they allowed everything to bloom in California for about the fifth year in a row, and then they engineer a cool down over us and wipe out all the blooms, all the blossoms. And this material is so cold that it can flash freeze foliage at temperatures that would not be expected to see anything like this. It's extremely cold to the touch. And we have measured snow off the side of Mount Shasta. That was the first snow of the year. This is several years ago. The ambient temperatures had not been below 30 degrees in that season yet, and the snow was 15 degrees. How does that happen? Snow sitting on the ground for 2 days was 15 degrees when the surface temperatures hadn't been below 30. That can only happen from chemical ice nucleation. And one more fallback to the pollinators, which you so correctly mentioned also a moment ago. I encourage your listeners to search bees aluminum, and they can find peer-reviewed study to prove that bees are dying of symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being because they are packed full of aluminum. They can't even find their way back to the hives. And no one is willing to talk about this. Why not?
Yeah, I've also seen some alarming reports of colony collapse of honeybees this year. I think, if I'm remembering the number, was in some areas 48% collapse in 1 year of honeybee populations.
You're correct. But what's confusing about that statistic is then people think, they think that that's half of the total optimal amount that was here before. That's half of the percentage that was already greatly diminished. So it's
right. It's half of what we had left.
Exactly. And we're not denying that there's other factors affecting the bees. And again, not denying that. Farm chemicals, glyphosate, frequency transmissions.
Yeah,
we're not denying that. But we're saying that there's a massive other factor here that's not being acknowledged. And on the frequency transmissions as well, we hope that people that are justly fighting against those transmissions and the dangers they pose will also incorporate the fact that we know some of those transmission towers have a service entrance, the service supply of power, that supplies 10 times more power than they need for communications. They are being used for climate intervention operations. We can see it on satellite radar. So we hope that those fighting the frequency transmissions also take into account that the transmissions being used for climate engineering are exponentially more powerful still. They need to be stopped also.
Good point. Yeah, really important point. Okay, let me ask you this question. For someone out there who is completely unaware of these topics, they don't watch you or me, they don't look at alternative media at all. At what point can they no longer ignore this because they go to the grocery store and there's almost nothing to eat, or they're so strongly impacted locally that they can't ignore this? I mean, because you and I know we're crossing a tipping point threshold right now on a planetary scale, and it's going to affect everyone, and it's going to kill a lot of people. But when do the oblivious have to face what's happening?
I will be personally very surprised if we reach the end of this year without extremely dire disruptions in our collective reality. In regard to tipping points, an example I've used often in our weekly broadcast, Global Alert News, that the human race is the occupants of the Thelma and Louise moment, the car flying through the guardrail, soaring through the air toward the bottom of the canyon, and the occupants clueless as to the severity of the situation. And that needs to change immediately. If we don't stop the current trajectory, we are not going to be here long. And that doesn't mean just 3 or 4 billion of us. That means all of us. We are on a trajectory that will soon make this planet completely uninhabitable. And climate engineering, again, the epitome of human insanity, certainly not the only form, never said that. But Mike, we even have now high circles of power openly discussing the use of nuclear detonations to further mimic the temporary cooling effect of volcanoes, which again, we know is toxic and very temporary, at which point in time it causes even more warming because you're trapping that heat as well.
Particles. Who's talking about using nuclear detonations? What?
High circles of power in Washington are openly discussing that, using that a nuclear exchange would provide temporary cooling for the planet to slow down.
Oh my gosh.
That's how far gone we are. If that happens, we're done. We're done. The ionizing radiation would strip away what's left of the ozone layer. Game over. And that's the level of insanity we are now dealing with. So again, the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding cannot be overstated. Whatever people are focused on, whatever their causes are, their concerns, none of it will matter when the entire ship goes down. We can't hide from what's happening in our skies. And if at any moment in time, and again, this is your wheelhouse, your arena, what I'm about to mention, but we already know that two of the elements being dispersed, polymer fibers and graphene, are used militarily in biological warfare for biological carrier platforms. What's that mean? It means they can carry a biological element from the clouds to the ground, infect the populations below. As we've discussed, I think, in a previous broadcast, we have former DOD scientist Ken Caldera, who works for Bill Gates now. We have an audio of him stating that's what he did for the U.S. Department of Defense, design ways of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the populations below. What's to stop them, Mike, from spraying something much more lethal? We don't know what they're spraying now. Low-level elements to sicken populations, keep them struggling to try to make it day-to-day. But if they disperse hemorrhagic fever, Ebola, Marburg, we're done. Overnight, done.
You're not kidding. And there's been a lot of research, of course, that has come to the surface about the bioweapons being pursued by the Department of Defense, including in the bioweapons laboratories in eastern Ukraine. And the Russians have now openly accused the United States of building biological weapons and genetic engineering of mosquitoes with the intent of dropping ethnic targeted bioweapons via mosquitoes onto Russia to kill Russians. And I don't think that Russia is fabricating that. I think that they have information and knowledge about the bio labs in Ukraine, and I think they're telling the truth because, I mean, look at, you know, look at the vaccines and the bioweapons that have already been deployed against us in America and whatever they're spraying in the skies and so on. You know, it's like we're living in a kill zone. We're all being targeted right now through different means, whether it's mosquitoes or chemtrails or blocking the sun, stopping photosynthesis, mRNA injections, all of it. It's like they've pulled out every weapon that they possibly have all at once.
You're completely correct on all counts. And they're not, again, trying to reduce the population by half. They're trying to cut it down to, in their own stated dialogue, 500 million. That's a 7.5 billion reduction. And you're correct on all the different layers and means with which they're trying to do this. Of course, they're trying to cull populations. How obvious could that be at this point? And for those that are trying to tell themselves that the criminal cabals masquerading as legitimate governments are here to protect them, time to wake up. And on the Gates mosquitoes, isn't it interesting that after the release of so many millions, tens of millions of those in the U.S., now we have malaria showing up in places where it hasn't been for decades.
Yep.
Is that just a coincidence? We have the Lyme disease now wreaking havoc all over. And again, this is part of the many layers you just mentioned. When we know from it very well documented, the Plum Island lab where Lyme disease came from, that was a bioweapon being researched that
totally
is now
total bioweapons program. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So again, as you so correctly stated, so many layers of this assault.
All right. Let me remind people of your website, geoengineeringwatch.org. And Dane, just, I know our audience is very familiar with you, but walk our people through some of the things they can find on your website so they can take action here to try to raise the alarm and bring awareness to all of these issues.
In addition to starting with the best tool we have, the Dimming documentary, and we posted that for free the moment it was done. We spent a huge amount of resource, effort, and expense on that. But that's the one-stop tool to share with the link. We also have our printed materials, which we pass those on for less than our cost of producing and shipping. And having those, I know I sent those to you, Mike, our 20-page booklets, our cards, and that can be a real conversation starter, along with our shirts, can start the conversation. People don't even know that this is going on in our skies. And once you open the conversation, you can get your foot in the door typically. And sharing a picture, again, our printed materials, picture's worth 1,000 words. So if we can start these spot fires of awareness in our own circles and have those who wake up do the same, and we, again, we expand this into bigger and bigger blazes until it can't be put out, till we can bring this issue to the full light of day. And if we can simply do that, so many wheels in this battle will turn on their own as people realize, people in high places realize they are fighting for their own lives as well. I'm communicating with individuals like former Senate Armed Services Committee members in D.C., people who are just waking up to the fact that this is going on and they are going to go down with the ship with the rest of us. Again, if we can reach that level of awareness where people in positions of power understand what they're participating in, we have a chance of stopping these programs from the inside out. That is the only way forward in this fight.
Well, talk to us about what that actually looks like, by the way. If we were to stop some of these programs, I mean, clearly there are a multitude of agencies and nations that are involved in this. So, you know, walk us through. I mean, you'd have to get the DOD to stop all their stuff. You'd have to get the HARP operations. You'd have to get telecom. I mean, this is already so widespread. How would you even stop it if you wanted to?
Only with a global awareness. I would argue, again, if populations all over the world realize we're forced to face, and that's the only way they seem willing to face it, they have to be forced to face it, that they are fighting for their lives right here, right now. Only by that level of awareness do we have a chance of buying time, turning the tide enough to buy time. When you cease these operations, there's a scientific scenario that has been coined for what happens then. It's called double catastrophe scenario. So all the pressure that's been built up in the system erupts. And I want people to understand that when you stop these operations, things just don't magically go back to normal. The damage done cannot be undone in any time frame that matters. Does that mean we give up? No, it doesn't mean that. It means if we can salvage any part of the planet's remaining life support systems and anyone can make it through what's coming, that's worth fighting for. And we must stop. The science community, Mike, tells us once you start climate engineering, you can never stop. Think how insane that is. That's telling the addict, once you start using, you can never stop. You only have to up your dose and up your dose and up your dose, and we all know where that ends. So the bottom line is,
Well, wait a second. So if all the climate engineering and weather weaponization were to be halted right now, and sorry about my language, but how screwed are we already? I mean, you know, things don't reverse instantly, as you just said, but if we stop things from getting worse, how bad is it going to be for the next few decades anyway?
I want to put this into a time frame based on all available paleo data that would indicate how long an equilibrium period would be after cessation of all human activity. Based on previous mass extinctions like the Petum event, Paleocene, Eocene thermal maximum 55 million years ago, an event not nearly as bad as what's happening now, that happened much slower than what's happening now, literally what's happening now hundreds of times faster than that event, which makes it hundreds of times worse. Equilibrium period after that event was about 10 to 20 million years.
What?
The planet.
Oh my gosh.
The planet we've known is done. It's gone. But again, that doesn't mean we give up. If your example I've used before, if your child was in a burning house and you knew you had very little chance of saving your child, would you not run in and try? I know what the answer is for every parent. Of course they would. So the bottom line is, again, if we can salvage any part of the planet's remaining life support systems, we are obligated to try, and that is absolutely worth every fiber of our being in this battle. So again, we need to let go of what was. It's not coming back short of some unforeseen intervention from some unknown source, but we could yet salvage some part of the planet's life support systems if we can stop these programs fast enough and other forms of human damage with it. But we must deal with this first because, Mike, even as I've stated at geoengineeringwatch.org so many times, the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm is climate engineering. But now we have climate engineering also magnifying that threat, nuclear threat,
right,
because it's destroying the protective layers of the atmosphere. Now when we get a strong coronal mass ejection or solar flare, we now have nuclear plants shutting down around the globe, can't cool themselves, meltdowns everywhere. Strips away the atmosphere with ionizing radiation, game over. And now we have the so-called science community just telling us a week ago that, oh, they made a mistake. The solar maximum isn't coming in 2025. It's coming this year. And that we should expect, quote, this is from mainstream source articles, we should expect internet shutdowns and power grid shutdowns this year from that. And we only have official sources in regard to the solar activity, so we have to just trust what they're saying. They can cause that type of event with the weaponry they already have being used in climate engineering, like ionosphere heaters. They can trigger what a CME type event with the frequency transmissions, Mike. EMP type.
You're saying
which would resemble an EMP event. Yeah.
So they could actually launch an EMP false flag type of event, take out the power grid, take out telecom, and just blame the sun.
Yep. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, what a convenient scapegoat in the sky.
That's the whole scenario with climate engineering. That's why what's happening in our skies is the crown jewel weapon of those in power, because they can wreak havoc on populations and blame it on nature.
Right.
And that's
exactly
why they're never going to let go of this weapon.
Yeah. Right. They can never take the blame for the depopulation agenda. I mean, kind of like with COVID, they blame nature, they blame bats, like, oh, it was a bat virus, or they blame the food markets in China carrying the virus. I mean, they blame nature all the time.
Exactly. And we have the same thing now being told to us by the so-called Arctic scientists that say the thawing tundra is going to release all sorts of ancient pathogens all over the world. Again, blame it on nature. Don't pay any attention to the hundreds of biolabs all over the world that are engineering these pathogens. Let's just blame it on nature and pretend those biolabs don't exist. And the population needs to wake up to what's being done to them.
Now, you interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I see on your website. Was that a recent interview?
He actually interviewed me.
Oh, he interviewed you. Okay.
interviewed me with Children's Health Defense.
Okay, great.
Yes, that's a recent exchange.
That's awesome.
And I'm grateful for RFK exchanging in this dialogue. I hope that he continues to dive deeper, learn more, understand the gravity of the threat. Because again, if we don't stop what's happening in our skies, all other causes and concerns will be moot. This is comparable to arranging deck chairs on the Titanic with other causes that matter in and of themselves. But again, if the whole ship sinks, nothing else matters. And that is the gravity of what is happening in our skies. And using our atmosphere for a physics lab, and Mike, how many people have asked you or regarded this issue as a form of their own denial? They say, why would they do this to themselves? You must have heard that many times.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right. Yeah, I have heard that.
And so we know how much they've already done to themselves. And I've cited before the 2,400 nuclear detonations. And let's take Project Starfish Prime as an example. The detonation of hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere that the so-called scientists of the time that were conducting this for the U.S. government felt that it could collapse the entire atmosphere. Did that stop them?
No. No.
It didn't stop them. They continued to do it. We're still dealing with the repercussions of what they did then. Today, we know the nuclear detonations in Nevada caused no less than 500,000 U.S. deaths as an indirect consequence of the downstream fallout from that. Well, no one knows that.
Plus, they blasted the Bikini Islands with nukes. I mean, they built CERN. They could have created a planet-sucking black hole. And they just, exactly, they went ahead with it anyway. These people are suicide cultists is part of the answer. But also, exactly, I think some of these globalists, they think that they're going to be insulated from this. They think that if they kill off enough of the common folk people, let's say, that then the planet will be restored to its lush green status so that the remaining surviving elites can enjoy the planet for themselves. But they're delusional in thinking that. I mean, the destruction they're unleashing is not going to restore, you know, the Garden of Eden on planet Earth. It's quite the opposite.
You're completely correct. And in the destruction of the formerly pristine South Sea Islands for nuclear game, just like kids in a sandbox. That's how they behave. They laid out all these battleships and blew them all up. They're like psychotic kids in a sandbox. Yeah. And in regard to their behavior, straight from psychoanalysis of those in power, there is a common trait in these people. And here's that trait. This is right from the manual. A near total lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. They are not sane. Public needs to wake up to that fact now.
Yeah, well said. I mean, they are sociopaths who are, I would say, part of a suicide cult. And the thing is that the sociopaths tend to rise to positions of power. And so they tend to run the militaries and the governments and the banks of the world, you know, overall. And so we are on an incredible path of destruction. But I want to ask you, the reason I brought up Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is because he's one of the few people that you and I can both talk to who actually gets a lot of this about pollution and the threats to the planet and so on. And in fact, I wanted to ask you about, you know, microplastics pollution, what that's doing to aquatic ecosystems, and then pesticide runoff in the waterways, and then pharmaceutical manufacturing waste that's being dumped in rivers and streams in India and in places all over the world. We're talking about a chemical contamination of the oceans, the Gulf of Mexico, you know, dead zones in the waters, the die-offs of coral reefs and so on. And this has nothing to do with the typical, you know, CO2, climate change people. This is just straight up pollution, just polluting the whole freaking planet. And the environmentalists don't even pay attention to this stuff.
You're so completely correct. And if I could back up to confirm what you said a moment ago, that was also completely correct. Those who are running the matrix is those who print the money. When people say, who are they? All roads lead to those that control the money printers, as I know you know so well, and as you just stated a moment ago, that's where all roads to this insanity lead to. And in regard to the total ubiquitous contamination of our planet. We live in a toxic fishbowl at this point. And again, to spray, willfully to spray 40 to 60 million tons of highly toxic nanoparticles in skies all over the world, virtually derailing all of the planet's life support systems. We know from peer-reviewed study now there's not an uncontaminated drop of rain on planet Earth. That's not my opinion. It's peer-reviewed study now that proves PFAS, forever chemicals, every single drop of rain. How much of that came from climate engineering, which is not acknowledged? Mike, I've had top EPA officials in Sacramento, the state capital here, closed-door meetings arranged by congressional reps, to my face state the entire system is rigged. We test for combustion particulates only PM10 in that case. Everything else, told to my face, everything else goes out the window. I was told the rain could be radioactive. We don't care.
No, I've had, Dana, you know, I've had whistleblower Dr. David Lewis on, you know, before. I did a whole film with him called Biosludged. And he was a former EPA scientist. And when he started blowing the whistle on what was allowed to be dumped into the soils, you know, because they take all the sewage and the feces from every city in America and they dump it into the soils. And it's everything. I mean, it's bioweapons, it's viruses, bacteria, it's, you know, feminine hygiene products that are flushed down the toilets. It's used, you know, used condoms and old pharmaceuticals and motor oil, everything you can imagine goes into that. And that gets put on the farms all across America and the school playgrounds and the grounds around hotels and government buildings. They're just, biosludge is spread everywhere. It's almost like a bioweapon assault. And what did the EPA do to Dr. David Lewis? Well, he was visited late at night by essentially men in black who pulled him out of his house and said they would kill him if he didn't shut up. And they took all his funding and they shut down his lab and they kicked him out. So, I mean, Dane, you're not the only one telling me this. I mean, the whistleblowers are real. This is happening again and again and again, spanning many years. This is a total assault. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you. Everything you said, completely correct. And if we look at even the fisheries, well, one example that I experienced firsthand, and I spent many years and countless hours alone diving at the Channel Islands off the coast of Southern California, 50 miles out to sea, what you are led to believe is still fairly pristine. This was in the late 80s and early 90s. I was subsisting off what I would gather from the ocean there while I was out at those islands alone. And I finally got a hold of a state biologist that then told me off the record, don't eat it anymore. This is in the, again, late 80s, early 90s. It's highly contaminated. And then we find out later, in fact, it was only discovered officially a year ago, something like that. There's half a million barrels of DDT dumped off the coast of LA, contaminating the entire channel. In fact, the scientist that found that, Mike, he hijacked a underwater remote vehicle because he had a hunch it was there. He said it looked like there were so many barrels of DDT. He said it looked like stars in the cosmos.
Oh my God.
500,000. They dumped them there. And I think I saw one of those barges dumping once when I was crossing in the middle of the night, full moon, saw a barge there, wondered what that could be. Now I think I know.
Yeah.
Again, think of the hubris with that. The government allowing them to dump 500,000 barrels of DDT in the water right off the coast of LA. And this is business as usual. We know that now. So we have nuclear dumping sites in places like Greenland and other locations that are thawing out quickly. Again, geoengineering making that worse, not better, trapping more heat than it deflects, fueling the warming of the planet. So now we have these nuke sites that are thawing all over these polar regions as well. So we face converging cataclysms at a level that few people are willing to try to comprehend.
And then there's dioxins on top of that, all the byproducts of, you know, PVC manufacturing and so on and plastics. And then, you know, there was that famous case, was it Pebble Beach, Missouri, where this company just took all this dioxin waste and mixed it with like road tar and then sprayed it as a dust, like to keep the dust down on the dirt roads over this entire town. And this stuff is toxic at parts per, not even parts per trillion, but I think a million times less than that. We're talking femtograms of dioxins can interfere with human physiology. And, oh, by the way, did you see in Ohio, I think the governor just now declared some kind of emergency months after the big dioxin release happened that they denied, and now suddenly it's an emergency? I think that just happened today. It's like DeWine, I think, is the governor there.
That's him. And yes, it's you know, it's, they only reach that point when they can't put the lump under the rug any longer. And the gravity of, again, these synergistic toxins, and that's what people need to understand. All these elements, highly toxic in and of themselves, even if you look at the heavy metals, aluminum, barium, manganese, mercury. When we combine those elements, the toxicity goes exponential. And we know in the case of aluminum and mercury how exponential it goes. The combination of those two already highly toxic metals, when combined, the overall toxicity skyrockets 10,000%. It's 100 times worse. It's a wonder any of us can walk and talk at this point.
So has anybody just told Bill Gates, hey, you don't need to do the mosquitoes and the vaccines anymore? The biosphere destruction is already going to depopulate the planet. I mean, Gates can back off at this point. I mean, the planet's already toast.
It is. In so many ways, we do need people to refocus their priorities, turn off the football game, forego the six-pack of beer, and help us carry this baton forward. If people love their children, if they want any future, any possibility of a future, they need to join this battle. It can't be done by a few on behalf of the many. It will take all of us.
Yeah.
And we are rapidly running out of time, Mike.
Well, that's a great wrap up for this interview. Folks, the website is geoengineeringwatch.org. And Dane, I can't say enough about your efforts. You've been fighting this very much for many years, very much alone. And I felt the same thing fighting pharma for many years. And now people realize, you know, that what I was saying was true the whole time since 2003. And the same thing's true with you. They now see that what you've been saying for 20 years is also absolutely true. But, you know, it might be too late for billions of people. That's the thing. You know, you got to wake up in time, and we might be past that tipping point.
I would argue if a person takes their last breath knowing at their core that they were on the right path, that they had the right compass heading, and they were doing what's right because it's right, then the story ends well, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I would, again, augment people or ask people to keep that in mind. Please keep that in mind, that that's what matters. The journey is the destination. The destination is the journey. We are obligated to do what's right because it's right. That's incumbent upon us. And again, I salute all the years you've been in this battle. We march together in this fight now with so many other awakened aware people that are doing their best to do all they can from their individual circumstances. And they have my deepest regard. I'm immensely grateful to all those that have summoned the courage to face this gathering storm head on.
And with that thought, folks, geoengineeringwatch.org is the website. And you can also donate to Geoengineering Watch. We have donated, and we encourage you to consider that as well. There's the donate button right there. And Dane, let me ask one last question. Are you seeing more traction with your message among people over the last few years?
Yes. And we have, with some of the help we have received, we are currently funding 23 on-air AM/FM stations all over the country, no commercials, no politics, to try and get the word out. So we put any resource we get to the road. Rubber hits the road with that, and we will continue to do that. This is my mission in life. I will definitely continue to stay at my post until my last breath, but we are absolutely seeing a wake-up occurring, Mike. I interviewed with a large South American newspaper recently, Las Prisas, that reached a great deal of the non-choir in South America. I just interviewed with Italian TV, done several big sources in Europe. There's definitely a major wake-up beginning to occur. And I would argue, because of unfolding circumstances, because of the level of weather warfare being waged at this moment, they can't hide this much longer. So now is the time when we need everybody at their post to help us force this issue to light. Again, if we could bring this to light, so many wheels in this battle would turn on their own. We would cause a shockwave around the world. As dark as the horizon is, if we can do that, it would still be a quantum leap in the right direction.
Yeah, well said. All right. Well, that's where we're going to wrap it up today, Dane. Again, always an honor to speak with you, and thank you for joining us today. And God bless you for all your work to do what you can to save humanity and our planet both together. You know, we can't exist separately. We all need each other. But thank you for joining me today.
Team effort, Mike. Same gratitude right back to you. Let's continue to march forward in this battle.
All right, we shall. And those of you watching, you can help by sharing this video. And currently, the Brighteon.com links are not shareable on Twitter or Facebook, but we also post this on Rumble, and Rumble links are currently shareable, even for the exact same video, which is interesting. But we do post on Rumble and BitChute and other platforms, and you can repost this interview also on your own channels and other platforms. And spread the word in every way you can, and check out geoengineeringwatch.org. Consider some financial support if you can help Dane with his efforts. Dane is a true warrior and a champion for all life on our planet. And I in my heart, I really share that mission with him to protect life on our planet, which includes humans, animals, plants, the entire biosphere. I value all forms of life on our planet, including human life, by the way. And that's something that the globalists do not share with us, as they're trying to exterminate so much. But anyway, thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And we've been talking with Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. Take care, everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's interview. It's brought to you by my online store, healthrangerstore.com. And if you're looking for some food storage that is lab tested and certified organic, then there's really no better choice anywhere out there. We've got a number of items in stock right now. I've got some on my desk. We've got Ranger buckets here, which is a two bucket set. Actually, I'm only showing one bucket right now, but it's actually not, it's a two bucket set. And we've got number 10 cans, which is you see the peas there. And we do whirl them around a little bit. So they're actually world peas. And we've also got cans of blueberries and mangoes, of freeze-dried, certified organic, lab-tested fruit and vegetables in this long-term storage format with the number 10 cans. And then you see we have hard red wheat berries, also, of course, certified organic, lab-tested, all of that. And we've got lots of buckets of those available, so you can stockpile wheat berries that have a very long storage life. And then if you go to our website, check this out. Here's, for example, organic milk powder. Oops, there it is. And that's also lab-tested, certified organic. And we've got, of course, supplements and superfoods and detox foot pads and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And remember that every purchase also helps support this show and this platform so that we can actually tell the truth about things that matter. But definitely get prepared. I encourage you to take up some food production, some home gardening, some sprouting. Do what you can to grow some food and also stock up on food through reputable sources such as our store, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.